It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is 1901 UTC, and it is May 16th, 2022. That's right, we're a little bit over halfway done with the month, which is great news, if you ask me. Ahoy to Calm. Wow, Tome's in Calm already. Hello, hello. And Stug, thank you for being here. Brandon, it looks like rolling back. Brandon only knows two Nebraskans, which I think is a bummer. Nebraskans are interesting folk. Hey, and one of Vaults is here. Welcome, welcome. Happy to see you and glad y'all are around. It's Bren Gun. Oh, sorry. oh, man. So, I had a surprise chance to work the door. Bye, Brandon. I had a surprise chance. I got to work the door for a comedy show yesterday. And it was great because I go to lots of comedy shows anyway. So getting the chance to work for one was kind of neat. You know, taking tickets and stuff like that. So that was fun. Didn't have to beat up anybody or be mean. So that was added bonus. And there was a blood moon last night. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it, but if you're on social media, you saw it because everyone and their mom takes lots of pictures when that happens. My neighbor had some high-power binoculars I don't know what they're specifically for. They're huge, but I was able to look at the moon through them, and it was very neat to see the moon in such high quality in person. I don't know. Maybe I should just buy a telescope. Hey, and Brandon Lives. Welcome back. I guess that's enough kind of rambling on from me. I do want to mention one thing. That's our good friend and fellow Anon Radio DJ, Jeff, reported it to the email list. He'll be posting an interview with Andrew Wedman tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1600 UTC on Evolution Revolution. Andrew Wedman created mini bass piano, and has been exploring music in so many avenues. You can read more at wedmanpianotech.com, or just join the mailing list if you want to check that out. But that was an email I saw today, and so I wanted to share it. All right. And I botched the link. I double-pasted it, so sorry about that. And income. All right, let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start, and that's
world news.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
That's right. Let's begin in the darkest of possible places, the children's camp that became an execution ground. It's easy to miss the killing spot at first in the gloom, but in a cold, damp basement on the edge of the woods that made Bucha a popular getaway spot before the war, five Ukrainian men were forced to their knees and shot in the head. To the right of the entrance, there are stones coated in blood that has turned dark red. Lying among that is a blue woolen hat with an exit hole in one side and its rim soaked in blood. In the wall, I counted at least a dozen bullet holes. Steps away, there are remains of Russian military ration pack, an open can of rice porridge with beef, and an empty can of packet of crackers. A name daubed in graffiti on a wall is a reminder that the scene is a children's camp. But when Russian troops moved into Bucha, just outside the capital in early March, Camp Radiant became an execution ground. The story of the summer camp killing is chilling, but so is this detail. More than 1,000 civilians were killed in the Bucha region during a month under Russian occupation, but most didn't die from shrapnel or shelling. More than 650 were shot dead by Russian soldiers. Now Ukraine is searching for their killers. Volodymyr Boychenko lived in the Hostomel just up the road from Bucha and near the airfield where the first Russian forces landed to try to overthrow the government. When his sister, Alyona Miktyuk, decided to flee before the fighting reached her, she pleaded with Volodymyr to join her. He was a civilian, not a soldier, but he wanted to stay and help. So he spent the day searching Hostomel for food and water to bring to his neighbors, including children, who were trapped in their cellars by constant shelling and Russian airstrikes. chatty 34-year-old who'd traveled the world in the Merchant Navy, he phoned his family from Hostomel most days to reassure them he was safe. Aliana would wait nervously for his brief calls. She knew he had to move to higher ground to get a connection, and if the shelling was heavy, it was impossible to leave the bomb shelter. As supplies ran low, she urged her brother to try to escape, but by then, the roads were blocked. And then goes on, this is a story from the BBC.com, and it goes on to kind of outline several people who were killed or murdered. I guess it's just they lost their lives in the same camp. But I wanted to mention it just because I think it's a chilling kind of scene to think about, where you go from a children's camp or like a summer camp can quickly turn into like just this death camp in no time flat. All right, well, that's kind of heavy, so let's keep on. Let's jump to something slightly less heavy. This is big news, so it's not world news, it's U.S. news, but it's pretty big news. A gunman killed 10 people at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, and planned further attacks after a mass shooting on Saturday. The suspect was an 18-year-old white guy. He drove more than 320 kilometers to carry out what's believed to be, well, it's a racially motivated crime. He planned to keep driving and shoot more black people, Buffalo's police chief told U.S. media. A pensioner, a former policeman, and a grandmother were among the victims. Mayor Byron Brown said the suspect arrived in Buffalo intending to take as many black lives as possible. A 180-page document seemingly authored by the alleged attacker, Peyton Gendron, has emerged, in which he describes himself as a fascist and a white supremacist. Questions are being asked about how he was able to carry out the shooting when concerns had already been raised. FBI officials have confirmed the gunman spent a day and a half in hospital undergoing mental health evaluation last year after he wrote that he wanted to commit murder-suicide in a high school project. No criminal charges resulted from the incident, and Buffalo Police Chief Joseph Gramaglia told reporters the gunman had only made generalized threats. He didn't appear to have remained under watch by authorities. So, the shooting stunned local community. One of them attending a vigil on Sunday told Reuters, "It just hurts. Why would somebody do that?" 10 died and 3 others were wounded. Of the 13 people shot, 11 were black. Among those reported killed were a man buying cupcakes for his son's birthday and a woman who'd gone shopping after visiting her husband at a nursing home. So, all too familiar. The United States is great at killing. You know, we've got a lot of gun violence. Pretty terrible. This person went out and bought, this person went out and had some really thick body armor on because the security guard that he killed shot him a couple times, but he's wearing this thick armor, and so he was not killed by that. And then the police came in and took him alive. Surprise, it's a young white boy, so not really a big surprise, but still very sad, and it's a tragedy, even if it happens in the U.S. where we have these big murders all the time. Brandon reports, "I'm actually going to try and pre-record tonight's attempt at DJing. I'll probably figure it out, and then by the time I'm in, don't press pause, press play." Are you going to do open mic tonight? All right, let's keep on moving. Let's go into some other deaths, mass deaths around the world.
World news.
40 killed in 3 attacks by suspected jihadists in Burkina Faso. The most deadly attack targeted the Volunteers for the Defense of the Fatherland, or VDP, in the town of Gusel in the Sahel region north, killing some 20 people, including 8 VDP. According to the source, 5 other auxiliaries and a civilian were killed in Markoy, in the same region where people were killed on the same day, an information security source confirmed, speaking of a series of attacks that mainly targeted the Volunteers. This sentence doesn't sound right. In the southeastern province of Kampinga, close to the borders with Togo and Benin, we know where Togo is because we looked at the map a couple times last week, a convoy of civilians escorted by army auxiliaries was targeted by an attack in Namoyore, said another security source in the region, adding that about 15 civilians were killed. A resident of the province said that in addition to the civilians, 3 auxiliaries were killed. He appealed for help to take care of about 10 wounded people. On Saturday night, another simultaneous attack on the gendarmerie and police station in Faramana West, near the Malian border, also left two security forces injured. Burkina Faso has been the target of jihadist attacks since 2015, perpetuated by armed movements, some of which are affiliated with Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State Group, and have more than 2,000 dead and 1.8 million displaced. Yes. X-Wen posits, why is a tool? The only way to really answer any why is to know the meaning of the universe, and a bit more. So there's been murder and death there. And let's talk about less death, more political stuff. Because, jeepers creepers, it gets a little stressful sometimes talking about all that death and those huge, those big impact things. Hungary is essentially holding EU hostage over sanctions on Russian oil. Hungary has been accused of holding the EU hostage over its refusal to agree to an oil embargo against Russia, as the bloc struggles to reach consensus on its latest sanction aimed at eroding the Kremlin's ability to wage war. Lithuania's foreign minister, Gabrielis Landsbergis, said, unfortunately, the whole union is being held hostage by one member state. He was referring to Hungary, which continues to block the embargo, despite being offered an extension on phasing out Russian crude until the end of 2024. Everybody expected this will be enough, Landsbergis told reporters, reflecting the widespread view that Budapest would fall into line if it got more time to convert its energy system to accommodate non-Russian oil. Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban said on Monday that his country would not block EU sanctions against Russia as long as they posed no risk to Hungary's energy security. In a combative speech after being sworn in for a fourth straight term, he blamed EU sanctions as partly responsible for high energy prices. Every day Brussels abuses its power and tries to impose things on us that we do not want, he said. So, that is what's going on there. Pretty wild, right?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
It's kind of, yeah. We'll get to it. I want to address this, though, first. Can Africa replace Russian gas supplies to Europe? African countries are among those hoping to increase their exports of gas to the European Union after the EU committed to reduce its reliance on Russian supplies. Russian suspension of deliveries to Poland and Bulgaria over their refusal to pay in rubles was a stark reminder of the threat facing the Eurozone. Russia has the largest natural gas reserves in the world and is the largest exporter, accounting for 40% of Europe's imports. The EU wants to cut supplies by two-thirds by the end of the year and become independent of all its fossil fuels by 2030. However, energy economist Carol Knackel says that with the combined exports of Africa's big players in the industry, Algeria, Egypt, and Nigeria, amounting to less than half of what Russia supplies to Europe, they are unlikely at the moment to compensate for any losses in Russian supplies. The good news is there will be greater interest in countries that already have the resources to replace Russian gas, and Africa is in a very good position. We're going to see more investment, she says. However, this will take time because of various logistical issues in the continent's major exporters. Algeria is well positioned to benefit from the shift in energy policy. The North African country is the region's biggest natural gas exporter and currently enjoys well-developed gas connectivity infrastructure with Europe. And there's a nice chart. Let me see if it shows up. This guy...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Here, I'm going to throw in a link here. This is a natural gas exports chart. All right, this is just a chart of natural gas exports from Africa, and it shows us that Algeria and Nigeria are the largest exporters, accounting for nearly 35 million cubic meters of gas per year. All right, let's check in with Calm. Brandon's still hanging out. Okay. Just some rambling, I guess. Well, you're listening to News to Me. I'm DJ Marcus, and we're going to play a song. And then after that, we'll talk about some more news. And then it's the Dubious Goals Committee time. This is Let the Sun Shine In. We'll be right back.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, my friends, that's powered by you. So thank you for being here. Shout out to DJ Snowdust making an appearance in comm during a work day. Oh, man. Watch out. So, hello. Thank you all for being here. Please stick around. In 10 minutes, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, a fantastically fun show. Very dubious, very entertaining. And then today is Monday, which means that we have Harry Larry and the Mix Remix at 20 hours. You can find the full schedule and everything that's happening at anonradio.net, or if you're in comm, you can just press the equal sign and get the upcoming schedule. It's pretty great. And if you're just looking for more ways to do it, I believe you can also type, you can just type anonradio in comm at your shell, and you'll get the same output if you're wanting to do it that way. All right. Well, that kind of sums everything up. Let's go ahead and jump into...
Is it time for tech news?
It is. Let's talk about some technology news because I don't want to talk about sad stuff all the time. That gets heavy. And then we have to play more music. So, away we go. So, I mentioned it. Stargazers were treated to an unusual sight, a super blood moon. Shortly after 3:30 a.m. GMT on Monday, Earth's orbit meant that for several minutes our planet was positioned directly between the sun and the moon. In that time, the moon fell completely near the Earth's shadow, temporarily turning into a dusky shade of red. Its hue was created by sunlight being projected through the atmosphere onto the moon's shadowed surface. The lunar eclipse coincided with a separate event, a supermoon. This is when the moon is at its point closest to the Earth in its orbit and appears larger than usual. Those watching out for the resulting super blood moon got the best view from 3:29 GMT when the full eclipse happened. And there are several great photos of the eclipse on the BBC's website. I would just include here a link to the informational diagram, illustrative diagram, at sdf.org/l/om. That's like om, like you're om-nomming something. sdf.org/lima/oscar-mike, or l/om. And that is a nice little chart showing what happens with the moon in eclipses. And I would also mention the chart I mentioned earlier. That's just at the one letter behind over there at SDF. Oh, choking on my own self here. Control A, page up. The natural gas chart is at sdf.org/l/ol. If you're listening to this in the future and you're not in comm, sdf.org/Lima/Oscar Lima/L/OL. All right, let's keep moving. Shout out, welcome to Oak 3. Coming in from Best Beastie, the fun, cool member of the cluster. All right, let's keep it going. We got other tech stuff talking about. Iceland urged to ban blood farms. That's the link to the blood moon that extract hormone from pregnant horses. EU concerned over cruel practice of taking blood from mares to create hormone products that increase reproduction in farmed animals. Iceland is under pressure to ban the production of a hormone extracted from pregnant horses, a practice that's been described as cruel and animal abuse. The hormone is used by farmers across the UK and Europe to increase reproduction in pigs, cows, and other female farm animals. Pregnant mare serum gonadotropin, or PMSG, is extracted from pregnant horses in Iceland during the summer at blood farms before being converted into powder and shipped around the world. Animal welfare campaigners in Iceland visiting farms with The Guardian showed broken restraint boxes and enclosures covered in bite marks, which they claimed was a sign of anxious horses. Undercover footage from farms taken by animal welfare campaigners also appeared to show distressed horses being hit and struggling in restraint boxes before blood was drawn using a large cannula inserted in their jugular vein. The European Commission said it was seriously concerned about the treatment of the horses farmed for blood, while the European Parliament has called for imports of the hormone to be banned. In late March, an international coalition of 17 NGOs submitted a complaint against Iceland, the European Free Trade Association Surveillance Authority, which monitors compliance with European Economic Area rules in Iceland, Liechtenstein, and Norway. The complaint accused Iceland of breaching EEA law on the protection of animals used for scientific purposes and said Icelandic authorities should ban blood collection. Support for bans growing within Iceland. The opposition People's Party has put a bill through Parliament calling for a ban. The bill, which is awaiting a vote, is supported by groups including the Icelandic Tourism Association. So, we'll see what happens, but I didn't realize that there were just farms where they got horses pregnant to take their blood. It just seems like a very wild, unfortunate, scary thing to talk about. So anyway, it's just like, ugh. So anyway, we'll keep on moving. Let's talk about something. Tobe says, invest now. X1 says, the new GMO bacteria producing that hormone will soon come to the market. Just a guess. If you're calling your broker, be sure you dump all your cryptocurrency if you haven't already, or just hold on for the long haul, because crypto crash, stablecoin collapse, sends tokens tumbling. Cryptocurrency markets are being rocked after a popular token lost 99% of its value, dragging down a so-called stablecoin with it. The Terra Luna token, we talked about this a few days ago, last week, it fell from $118 last month to 9 cents on Thursday. The collapse had knock-on effect on a LINK token, Terra USD, which is normally stable. And spooked investors are now pulling out of major cryptocurrencies, sending the markets plummeting. The companies behind stablecoins try to ensure they remain in parity with assets like the US dollar. But on Thursday, Terra USD fell to $0.4, or 40 cents, according to a trading website, CoinMarketCap. Tether, the most popular stablecoin, also fell off its US dollar peg to an all-time low of 95 cents. The term crypto cash has been trending on Twitter and Google search, and the combined market value of all cryptocurrency is now reportedly $1.12 trillion, about a third of its November value, more than 35% of that loss coming this week. One Bitcoin is now worth $27,000. At the time of writing, it's changed a lot, but it was $70,000 late last year. Ethereum lost a lot of value, is less 20% of its value. So this is very interesting, of course, the big thing here is that if you believe in cryptocurrency, this is a huge crash. So do what you will with that. My favorite thing, though, is because Tether is a stable coin. It's very popular, and you can use it just like cash on a lot of exchanges to buy bitcoins. But the Tether coin itself is like a privately held company. And so they just kind of print their own money and then buy real stuff with it, or buy other cryptocurrencies with it, and then sell that for U.S. dollars. So, I don't know. Anyway, just wanted to share that that's going on. We're running out of time. We've only got about, what, a minute and a half to go, maybe less. So let me just tell you this, run through the remaining headlines. Thousands hospitalized as a sandstorm brings Iraq to a standstill. The Royal Mail wants a fleet of 500 drones to carry mail to remote communities. I think that sounds pretty cool. They want to use drone planes, not like the helicopter-looking drones, but drones that are more like airplanes that look like cargo planes to bring mail between different spots. It's really cool. Turkish nuclear plant threatened by Russian sanctions. The AKKUYU nuclear plant would be Turkey's first, but Russia's invasion of Ukraine may cause problems. Hopefully Turkey can get on that nuclear bandwagon soon. And really, that's kind of it. I hope you enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It's coming up in just a couple of seconds. The Dubious
Goals. That our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back.
X5 Farrer.